The Trash Court Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, the 2015 Bash for Cash and Smash It Demolition Derby, Fort Lockwood Motorsports, and the 2015 Keystone National, Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com, and Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon. Welcome to episode number 85 of the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, live Seneca Falls, New York. Tonight, back home a day later. I hope everybody enjoyed the Memorial Day holiday. We're back from the Bash for Cash. Great time. We'll be catching up with the 80s class winner, Dustin Ingram. It's no longer luck. He's just plain that good. And we're going to be catching up with Jesse Kunkel, who won the Heavy Hitter Award in the 70s class. We were trying to catch up with good friend of ours, Pat Osman. But Pat, unfortunately, cannot talk anymore. He's lost his voice completely, and he's still trying to recover from his trip out there and his ride in the raffle car. Brian Tompkins joining us here in studio. We've also got Ben here. Josh at home was trying to make time to get up here, but unfortunately work had him running a little bit over the schedule, and then being on the off night, it messed him up a little bit. So we're going to be catching up with Dustin and then Jesse, and then at the backside we're going to be talking to Jared Lazenby about the Kings of Destruction show coming up in Tooele, Utah on the 20th of June, which we are going to be going to. Brian, of course, I'm sure you're looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Always wanted to go there, and we're going to do it. It's going to be a wild show.
And Ben stayed here, but he watched all the action from Bash for Cash here at home. You were talking a little bit about the Thunderbird, another one of the Canadian cars. Mm-hmm. And that took a little bit of damage. Some interesting pictures there, but you know the dude did a great job on the nose.
Brian, yeah, he actually sent me a real nice text and you know thanked us for what we do. And I said, you know, I told him how great it. I mean, first time ever at the Bash, you know, to make it in the feature. And I think he was only one spot out of making the money.
Yeah, so he said he's one spot out from making money. So.
The you know the front of that car was nasty tough. Yeah. Had some, they kind of got a hold of the back end, but great learning experience. I'm sure he'll be back. I mean, you can't be disappointed when that's your first trip.
Did you hear on the topic of the feature, we were talking about Pat and finishing in the money. Pat Osman finished high enough of that raffle car to get $250.
Yep, yeah. This is an awesome story.
And then he put the call out. He wanted to come across the young child who drew the winning raffle ticket. So eventually the parents brought the kid down again, and Pat took his money and gave the kid $150 and said, "Here, go buy a ton of toys." Just, you know, basically as a thank you. I thought that was a real cool move.
Very cool.
And you know, Pat represented an entire community, man. Whether he knows it or not, he was wearing the Chad Elman shirts, and he went out there and he drove the wheels off it. And then he decided probably the best decision he could make was to pick out one of the Braun cars.
Yeah, that's why the ass of it looked like it did.
Yeah, shortly thereafter, there was nothing left.
There was all thread that was through the spring pockets, as one would expect. I mean, it was a well-built car, and that would happen. And Pat's lower back was on the top of the seat, and his head hit the all thread that was coming at him from the back end of the car moving forward into the driver's bay, which was pretty impressive because I didn't think Pat was that flexible. But
the Braun boys, that whole Braun clan, they're a bunch of the hardest drivers that run out in Ohio.
I mean,
when them boys turn it up, you better have eyes in the back of your head.
Oh yeah.
I mean, hands down, one of the best features of the night was the was that 70 to turn back the clock. Oh, $10,000 coming home for the second year in a row. Going back to the Braun garage, it was an awesome show. Josh Braun coming away with the win there. Young kid, 19 years old, and already won that show back to back.
Yeah, very impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah. And then as we alluded to, Dustin Ingram coming away with that, and Jesse Kunkel winning that heavy hitter was one of three heavy hitter awards. We're going to get into this with Jesse a little bit later on that are going back to Pennsylvania, with Mike Klinger winning the wire class, because we'll be $1,000 for that, $1,000 for winning the feature overall. He also brought the car home. Yep. So that's not a bad payday.
That's
for
like a $3,500 day.
That should easily replace that Lincoln that he ruined.
The front end wasn't bent.
Yeah, I know.
he's probably going to be taking that somewhere else and ruining some more people's days. So, but hey, how about we?
He was wondering if there was any odds he'd be able to bring that to your heat at Kings of Old School.
Whatever happens, happens. Let it eat. How about Jeremy Gard? He's having a pretty good year too, motor building wise.
Doing okay.
The Daryl Monroe machine. I would have loved to have had a heat gun on that motor afterwards, because he got into it with somebody earlier and lost a radiator, and that thing just kept running. I mean, when it got down to him and Dustin, they battled, and he stalled a couple times, and it
unofficial,
fired back
unofficial
up.
Report was the block was 97 degrees when the feature was over. Can't confirm it.
Maybe at Dustin's car. on Daryl's car, it was about 400, but what a great showing for the that motor there.
Don't stop talking for me.
Well, I heard beeps and buzzes and all
beeps
sorts
and
of stuff.
Buzzers and hold on, yep, we're putting you on, and that's a cue for us to shut the hell up.
Well, not always. I gotta get him in first. Dustin Ingram joining us here. Congratulations on that win, man.
Thanks, guys.
Your message that you sent me was well founded. It is not just luck anymore, man. Three high profile wins to start off the season.
It's been a good year.
Been a good year.
Now, I got a question for you. Quick after you won the feature.
It's been a good year and the sun is warm. What else can we understand?
pretty quick after you got out of the car, you were sitting on top of the car, and the look on your face, were you not necessarily surprised or a little surprised, or were you that exhausted? Because you had a look of kind of both on your face after that feature.
I was just burnt out. I was tired. I needed about 10 gallons of water, dehydrated, and
oh yeah,
I had a good feeling about that feature. Got down to about six or seven of us. It seemed like I was steering a lot better than everybody else and mm-hmm. moving around a little bit better than everybody else. So it was just it still wasn't the easiest car in the world to steer. My steering was a little messed up, but it didn't surprise me, but I didn't go into it thinking I was going to win. That's for sure.
Well, we were standing on there, and I was actually talking with Wade Sickick from Derby Parts, and we were kind of commentating back and forth, and we were talking about how well your car was still moving and driving, and all of a sudden you kind of turned and went by us, and your right front tire had a flop to it, like it was bad, and I went, ooh, that's not looking so good, but. You know, luckily for you, it just bent and it didn't broke, but it just a great show. I mean, you did well.
It didn't broke.
Yeah, one wheel not holding on it. The other four were probably within 2 to 3 threads of falling off, but wow, wheel not still tight on it.
That's got to be a pretty awesome feeling. I mean, I've had that maybe once or twice when I got down towards in the features. When you can actually, you have that gut feeling, and you have that feeling, in you know that you're down in this many cars, and you have that mindset of, I got this thing, you know, and it's just not many people,
no,
you know, have the seat time or maturity level actually to stay calm and cool when you're in that type of atmosphere in an event, and at that caliber,
then.
You know,
yeah, and then you throw in Daryl Monroe in there, the one you got to deal with.
yeah, that's what I mean.
You can't get too cocky about it.
No, but it's got you got
make one mistake, and a guy like that's going to make you look stupid in a hurry.
Absolutely, but to have that feeling, you know, thinking I got this, you know. So,
I went on the awesome. Podcast. I went on the podcast, and I picked Luke Johnson to win, just so that I didn't curse Dustin.
Ouch!
Jeez. I'll be honest. I took Logan Duvall, and Logan drove down an 8th place finish, and if he hadn't lost his rear tires, I really truly think he would have been down there battling all these guys at the end. I mean, his car was – and you and Logan had quite a battle going about halfway through that feature. You guys were pounding on each other pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think he really made it too much further after that.
he went away. You guys did well. You both did well, obviously, but –
See, I went with the old timer.
He's a good kid. He's does really well for his age, and he does really well. He's going to be a force.
I think you and him are going to be battling for years to come.
Dustin,
these big shows.
I mean, you're not that old. How old are you?
I'm old. I'm 35.
See,
well, wait. Well, hang on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, we're all in trouble. That if old's 35, we're in trouble.
Then I feel good making the comment saying I was pulling for the old man, which would have been Gaffin in the 80s class. But 35, shit. I wish I was 35 again.
I'll be able to do it when I get older. I'm still sore from Sunday today. I I don't recover as well as I did when I was 20, 21 years old back then. But I guess the hits are a little harder, and it's a little harder cars nowadays.
Rub a little money on it.
Yeah. Just look at that stack of hundreds. You'll
yeah,
be all right.
that'll make it all better. So, I mean, after this year, you're going to have to start finding more spaces to put all these big trophies, aren't you?
My boss, he's an old Derby guy, very well known up here in Canada, an old Derby guy, and he hasn't done it for about 10 years or so, and he's a very social guy. He doesn't actually do much at the shop anymore. He just kind of sits up there, and I pile the trophies up in his office, and
nice.
He gives him something to talk about with all the locals all day long.
That's awesome.
Keep them at my own place.
He's what you call the shop supervisor now.
Yeah, he is. Yes. He protects them for me, keeps them cleaned up, yeah. and have more fun with them than I do.
That's great. That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
You made any friends at the border?
We're good. We drove right through last night around 7:30, 8 o'clock last night. Drove right through, no problem at all.
Nice. That's nice. Awesome.
See the same person. Like, yeah, we got another. All we got to claim is another trophy. Yeah, that's cool.
We got a trophy. No cash, just trophy.
This big plastic check.
We don't talk about winning. We just pretend like we just had a nice, relaxing weekend.
Tell them, guys, look at the car in the trailer. Does it look like I won?
Yeah, right.
Well, I got my ass kicked.
I'll tell you what, though. One of the coolest pictures I saw, and I don't know if Dustin took it, but I saw him tagged in it, was somebody took a picture of his A-pillar with a flag up. It said, flag still up. And yeah. I was like, that's a pretty cool picture right there. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was great. Like I said,
that was the next morning, terribly hungover.
Well, it was awesome too, because like I said, I went out on the track and was shaking a lot of guys' hands and congratulating. And Dustin's whole crew made it to the track with him, and they were all so happy. I mean, it's great to see that. Whenever a team wins, you know, it's great to see.
By the way, on a side note, Brian's out there glad handing. I approach the berms like, "Who are you? You're not allowed. Drivers only." That's cool. Cool. I'll just go over here and hold Brian's sweatshirt.
You just the key to that is just walk right through and just don't even pay no attention to people.
Act like you know what you're doing. Everything's good.
Well, I thought I had a shot, but nope. Pete Hansen takes his job serious.
That's great. Now, Dustin, you said you're running Metal Mayhem also, right?
Yeah, we're going to give the Bone Stock a try there, I guess.
That's so awesome. Now, it's going to be...
For me, I guess I'm up there in the Icon Point, so I might as well...
Jump in the Icon Point.
The Bone Stock's not going to be my forte, so I'm just going to go out there and just whatever I can do. It's not going to be my build, but right, they still get the points for showing off.
So let's just do this now. About this time on the 15th of June, we'll be calling you again.
Just my advice is, you know, the driving pace you had Sunday.
Yes, Brian, please tell those people how to drive.
No, just back that down by about 30%, and it'll be perfect for Metal Mayhem. I mean, that feature.
I don't think Tori's going to let that fly. I
hope you're right, but I
do. How fast Metal Mayhem's going to be? I think it's going to be. I don't think there'll be a lot of fixing on cars. You're either going to junk your car and not be able to fix it, or else you're not going to do so well, and you're going to be able to fix it. I don't know. It's going to be a strange show.
I hope for the fans' sake that it's a good show, but I'm a little concerned, but I don't have a dime invested, so whatever happens, happens.
There's going to be a lot of nice iron right there, that's for sure.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
How about that wire class heat at Bash for Cash? I mean, certainly
it was awesome.
It certainly wasn't the caliber, you know, in terms of quantity. But there was a lot of nice cars that were turned inside out.
Yeah, quickly.
Cindy Regenbald.
They were paying good money when you think about it for one run and done deal there. That was and to win that car as well for the Mad Dog, that was a pretty good deal.
Oh yeah, he walked out of there with 30. The guy that won got $1,000 for winning, $1,000 for Mad Dog, and I mean
and the car.
A $1,500 car. That's
would Joker give away a Chevy?
Yeah, 74. Clinger
will be pawning that off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's not, bow ties aren't his brand.
I'm pretty, I mean, this is not steeped in any sort of fact, but I got full faith that he didn't have to worry about towing that car home.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
He could have sold it on the spot.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
For good money.
Yes.
Good money all day.
Yeah. There's guys looking for new ones.
Oh, yeah.
If it didn't have a blue oval on it, he don't want it.
Yeah, he's got them figured right out. Them suicides are pretty nasty.
Danny Williams checking in. Danny. Sporting his team decker.
No, I just think that's awesome for Klinger to come away with that, because he drives the every car he runs. Absolutely. And in that drivetrain he has, most people just look at him and just scratch your head and go, "What the? Okay, he's not. That's not going to last in Ohio heat." Yeah. And he goes out there and smokes people.
Oh yeah,
you know, and takes away the win. I mean, that's just. I think that's great for Klinger.
Couple hits he made had both right side tires off the ground.
Oh yeah, he was hitting.
I mean, he was hitting. And we joked about this. The reason why Klinger won Mad Dog was because he was the last car running. You know, if the roles were reversed, let's say he had some misfortune and he wasn't the last car. Dude, everybody was out there hitting so hard that whoever won it was pretty much going to get the Mad Dog.
That last shot he put on that dude.
Oh, yeah.
That dude, that's one of them shots where you see coming for like 50 yards away and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, that was
a sniper shot, man.
Well, actually, Klinger put the in car up from that. And it, you could, when he hits it, you could see everything buckle on that car.
Did you see the in-car camera from Billy Orndorff's car?
No, you tried to show me that at 3 o'clock in the morning driving home from
Ohio. I don't know why you were ignoring me. What else did you have to do? There was nobody else on the road. We could have drove down the oncoming lane, and we would have been
almost
just fine.
Almost did a couple times.
Yeah, we were good. We were good.
Hey, Dustin.
Billy had this in-car camera from his Cadillac from out there, and it was only about a minute and a half long. It was an isolated snippet. He took a shot on the right side. You can see his head bounce off the door bar because the door bar comes halfway across the car. Mm-hmm. I shared the link. It was pretty crazy.
So, Dustin, towards the end of that feature, when it was you and Daryl battling, were you sort of, you know, cursing Jeremy Gard for the motors he builds when that thing would stall and crank over for a couple seconds and then fire right back up and you'd be back battling again? I mean, at that point, Jeremy probably wasn't your favorite guy. You were hoping, man, I wish this motor would just quit so I could get out of here with the money.
It was like the best of two evils there. I was just wanting Daryl to die, yet at the same time, I hit Daryl at one point there, and I stalled, and it wasn't from heat by no means. I hadn't even come off the overflow all night. I was out of fuel.
Really?
I run a dual fuel pump system inside my car for a backup, and what I did was I reached over and I hooked up my second fuel pump, knowing that the second lines would be full of fuel. And I fired that thing up, and I hit Daryl the last time, and I had no fuel left in the car. Jordan drove it out to get cut apart, and it stalled, and it wouldn't refire again.
You know what? Now that you mention that, because I remember when you stalled, and then it started skipping, and I'm like, man, because I thought the same thing, because I never saw it spit out any water, and I'm like, man, it's strange.
So how long was the feature?
Carl Edwards and the Joe Gibbs team got nothing on you.
Yeah, hour and a half.
So that was, you probably got, what, 15-gallon fuel cell?
I got a 15-gallon fuel cell, and that's what we can't figure out was Arkansas was an hour and 48 minutes, and I had a gallon and a half left, and we were still full.
Maybe somebody didn't top it all the way off.
No, that's my job. I know it. I couldn't figure that one out for the life of me.
Well, wow. Maybe Russ and Tim got
heavier, a little heavier car, but
maybe Russ
hotter temperatures too. I'm not quite sure.
Maybe Russ and Tim got to put a pit stop in the show.
It was nice. There was a red flag, and they brought the drivers out water, which was nice because it was definitely a hot day. And you guys. Daryl got out of the car, and I went, like I said, Daryl was kneeling on the ground, and he looked completely wiped out. I mean, but he, like I said, that he'd gotten a pretty intense battle with, I can't think of his first name, but his last name is Jones in that 345. Mm-hmm. They were pounding on each other for probably 10, 15 minutes straight, just those two. He had a pretty intense heat.
There's years I've watched shows, I mean, Mayhem, watch Mayhem, there's guys passing out in the seat, laying right over.
And that's one thing, I mean.
Guys puking out the window because they're hungover from the day before. You know, it's just like, man, you got grit right there. You're going to go out and do that shit.
Well, and that's the thing.
Poor Dustin got stuck drinking that watery America beer.
No, I'm Canadians. They like our beer. It's cheaper down here. They drink our beer. That's what Rick told me. But, and that's the thing is, what people don't realize is on days like that, there's no air moving in and out of those cars because they're not going that fast. It's, you know, and the race drivers, they have the fresh air systems and all sorts of stuff. I mean, that's a workout to be in there working on that stuff.
You got the training cooler sitting there blowing on you and everything. The engine cooler, and it's all blowing on the driver.
Yep, absolutely.
Might as well sit right in front of the furnace on full blast because that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said.
Chris Polly, Pork Chops, listen. Shane Jones, the guy you're referencing.
Shane Jones, that's him, yes. Because he runs Top Dog Promotion shows. Pork Chop, actually, we got talking Sunday.
Happy birthday to him, belated birthday.
When he gave me a rundown of who was going to be in the top five, and he was really, really close with who was going to end up in the top five. Of course, he mentioned Dustin and Monroe, Jones. I can't remember who else he said, but he was pretty close on his predictions.
Excuse me. So we know Spring Explosion's next. And after that, you're just going to sit back and take the rest of the summer off, or you got more plans?
Metal Mayhem.
I can't believe I said that. Yeah,
Metal Mayhem.
Mayhem is next.
Mayhem's next. We get home usually on the Monday after Mayhem, and then you got the Keystones or what on the following weekend. We're just gonna come down, bring some parts down, sell some parts, and drink some beer and take that in. Is all we're gonna do. And we're going to relax the rest of the summer.
So are you on a team for Blizzard Bash definitively at this point?
Oh, yeah, there's some stuff in the works there.
With who?
I'll be in Kansas.
With who?
Probably that same team.
I'll be in Kansas. Let's just leave that back.
And it's not going to be with Toto. Yeah. And that's all you're getting, Chris. You're not getting no more, no matter how much you twist on him. That's all you're getting.
Has Bobby Brockway called you to congratulate you on your win yet?
Yeah, of course he has.
I was giving those guys rundowns.
Not done yet.
He's trying to put pieces of the puzzle together.
Come on, make it quick. Let's go.
Nah,
you're taking the scenic route to get to this one.
Well, no, I'm not going to pester. Dustin is a good guest. I'm not going to pester him about whether he is or is not joining Team Neret.
Two.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. It's Team Guard.
Yeah, Team Guard.
I was trying.
Once again, I got the lowdown, but that's all right, Chris. So when it gets closer, I'll tell you what's going on.
Huh. I've already got pretty much all of it figured out, I think.
Get over to 411.
You had another question. That's why camera's on you.
No, I didn't.
Dustin, man, who you got to thank for this one?
Like always, my brother Jordan Ingram, the two young boys Jason and Tristan. They just killed themselves since December on these cars. They've just been go. Jeremy Gard building the best engines and demolition derby right now, as far as I'm concerned. He's got the wins to prove it this year, that's for sure. Ray Turner, Joker treats me amazing. The parts he supplies Jordan and I with is top notch. I haven't lost a ball joint or a tie rod or anything all year. So just guys like that take care of us all the time.
Well, congratulations on yet another win. Expect a phone call here before too long from Christy King, because we got to do a piece on this for the next issue of the magazine. Fascinating round of skill to come up with that. Amazing amount of talent put into the cars, and it never hurts to have a little bit of luck with that fuel pump switching over. Heads up move, too, by the way,
yeah,
to secure
awesome.
That win.
That's
I mean, that's a $10,000 decision right there. Dustin, always great catching up with you. Had a ball having you on the show. Thank you, man. Congratulations.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you later, man. Good luck. So, like I said, mid-June, we'll be doing this again. I hope. It'll be awesome. Can you imagine?
I bet he's going to have an 18-gallon tank next year.
Well, I mean, come on. The guy's he has got to be the hottest driver in Demolition Derby right now.
Oh, bar none.
This is just outstanding. Outstanding run right now, and he has got all the momentum in the world going into Metal Mayhem. Absolutely.
Metal Mayhem, I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys that are...
There's too many variables that are uncontrollable.
Yeah.
In that class. It's just you're going from a class that's built. And yeah. Now you're going to, you're turning back the clock. You know, and it's just
literally. Yeah,
literally
you're right.
Turning back the clock. You're right. And it's there's too many things that are just unknown.
Yeah, I mean, in the best, pretty much the best of the best will be at Mayhem. I mean, there's. You know, there's a lot of guys that are going to be there. Don Santal running for his, fourth Mayhem title?
It's his fourth. If he can pull it down. He's been under the radar a little bit. He's picked up a couple number of wins and several good podium finishes here as we move through in and around, some of the periphery, more regional shows versus some of these national-level things. And I mean, the guy's no joke. We're going to be seeing him, and it sounds like we're going to be seeing him in person a little bit later in the year, which is going to be a ton of fun. And... going to be this is setting the stage for a lot of cool storylines as we move towards the end of the year Super Bowl, the other Super Bowl demolition derby when we all get cold and come indoors in the Topeka Expo Center at Blizzard Bash. Number of cool things that are swirling around right now, and most all of them confirmed, just not ready to be shared. It's going to be a lot of fun as we move forward. On the topic of Blizzard Bash, we saw a huge turnout and a lot of cool conversation circulating about this RC Derby thing that took place at Bash for Cash. And now Saturday, during the break between the morning action and the afternoon program, Blizzard Bash has added an RC Derby.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Very cool.
Yes, so that's going to
happen. So are you hauling my car out for me?
I'm going to have your car. I'm probably going to have both of mine.
Sweet.
And I got David Tillery, who won the RC Derby at Bash for Cash. What a show that was. That was awesome. If nobody took that in, the thing lasted a half hour. It was crazy. And I got a wagon on the way from him. Keith Rourke, he's awesome, and his daughter's the best. Absolutely awesome. Love that kid. She's 9 years old, and she ruined my day. That was it. She tagged me, and it shut the electrical system off, and that party was over, and the car died at my feet. There was no better place for it than I could watch it, and my tears could actually strike the car and clean the dust off of it. It was outstanding.
Hey, now you know how bad I felt when that happens to us in real derby. But I tell you, felt it now, man.
And like I said before when we first mentioned this, what did I say before?
That I'm going to spend a lot of money.
You're going to have the older generation going to want to get into this, the drivers, and they're going to start getting their ass kicked by a bunch of kids.
Yep.
And that happened.
and I'm telling you,
no lie. And I tell you what, right now, Brad Witt is building some nasty bodies. Brad Witt is a full-size derby driver. He's got a crew of probably 10 guys that said, yeah, we'll go. Brad Carson, who was part of the model car build-off competition where Jeremy Shule ended up winning that, guy come out of nowhere. Brad Carson was all of that. He bought a car, and now he's got probably 6 or 8 of his buddies that are getting involved with it in his hometown in Illinois. They're all talking about trying to make the trip out. Ed, who came in from Virginia, hasn't been to a derby since 1970, and his first derby since 1970 was Bash for Cash.
Oh, I bet he was just...
His eyes were popping.
Yeah, what the hell is this?
He's talking about coming out, and his buddy Josh Friel, who we had on the show, he builds bodies, Keith builds bodies, David Tillery builds bodies, Brad Witt and Michael Brashear all build bodies, and there's some gnarly stuff coming down the line. Those cars can take a beating. I put mine through its paces. Through the course of the day, when the controller started to respond and then failed a second time, that was an interesting experience. But those bodies can take just about anything that you send at them. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. So that coming down the line for Blizzard Bash, if anybody's interested in that. And then on top of that, after that, the Mid-Atlantic Championships are going to be held with John Peck when we all go down to West Virginia. So all the Virginia, North Carolina guys are talking about coming up to that. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I had mentioned possibly making a little detour when we went to West Virginia for that show. I didn't realize that the part of the West Virginia we're going to is on the west side of West Virginia. So
I thought it was funny that Brian's talking about making
it to Huntington, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Brian's got all these plans of making a detour. Apparently he doesn't own a globe.
Well, right over the river is Proctorville, Ohio.
Yeah, that's yeah.
You know anybody in Proctorville?
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Jesse, you ready to go?
Yeah. No, that's a good. It's a real good time.
And now joining us on the line, the Mad Russian himself, heavy hitter, one of three heavy hitter awards that came back to Pennsylvania over the course of Bash for Cash weekend. Jesse Kunkel, man, welcome to the show.
Thanks, sir.
What's up, Jesse? What's up?
Oh, trying to recuperate.
Yeah, you took some pretty big shots in that wire class, man. You all right? Or
actually, I got a bruise. The bottom left two ribs are bruised, and I get the whole left side of my chest is all black and blue. But other than that, I'm okay. Part of the game.
He's all right. He just got a broken tranny out of it.
Yeah. Saw that, too.
Is the bruise from the shot, or was it from having to lift up that 30-pound Mad Dog trophy?
You know, the bruise is from that damn side swipe, I guess you could call it. I don't know. I mean, it was a good hit. It was fair, and I'd have done the same damn thing if I could have.
Yep. Jesse, I got to say that we mentioned one cool picture, but another cool picture I saw was your son riding home with his arm around the Mad Dog trophy. That right there is what it's all about, man. That was an awesome picture.
Yeah, I actually had a guy stop today at the house, and you know, he asked me, and I've been asked by a lot of people, why did you do what you did? But why didn't you just keep your head in the game and try to get the feature? And because who cares if I won or lost? You know, the best thrill was getting out of that car and hearing everybody cheer it. That was cool to me.
Absolutely. That's why I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks like that, because everybody tells me I'm stupid.
Oh, no, Jess, as soon as he got out of the car, man, the pit sides, they were all cheering for him, and, you know, the grandstand was, you definitely set the tone for the weekend in that heat. It was impressive.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I understand why they use test dummies people in the car crashes, because that's about what I feel like.
did you go to work today? Did you go driving, or did you take the day off?
Oh, yeah. I was back out on the road at 3 o'clock this morning.
Man. Nice.
Trooper.
Trooper right there.
And,
good for you.
I have to say that I think that was probably one of the best runs of my life.
You, very impressive. Very impressive. Like I said, I think maybe one other time, I think I might have seen you on, but I know you had the bad luck last year, but man, did you make up for it this year. You were
got after one of the Petros in the heat, right?
Yeah, I think you got after one of their wagons pretty good.
I'm glad.
Yeah, we were actually there. I talked to Brett probably about 2 hours ago, and he asked if I was going to come up there and run that King Old School and what I was going to take, and I said I was going to try and slap that Cadillac back together for Keystone if I can't get anything done. And he's like, you think it's actually movable? Yeah, it'll drive through somebody else's wagon.
I'm telling you, man, I've still never pillar parked. Hopefully I get a chance at King's Road School. That would be very cool.
You better get some Fight 13 gears.
I talked to Todd Sciopa today, and he told me bring it down to the garage. He's going to throw it on the record and pull that nose back down. We'll throw a couple plates on her and pack the trunk in and let her eat.
There you go.
That's awesome.
What, one person on the topic of Sciopas, we've talked about the three heavy hitter awards, but I don't think we've had a lot of time to talk about the guy who brought the third one down. We mentioned Jesse. We mentioned Klinger. Sickles, the compact king. Everybody's giving him flack about it, but sure enough, he brought home that award, and he's one of the guys that runs out of the Sciopa shop.
That's awesome. That's great.
You know, he even said he doesn't even think he deserved it. He doesn't know how he got it. And that's like everybody said, well, just suck it up and take it and accept it. Who cares?
Absolutely. And that's, I didn't realize.
Like the PA.
Yep.
After, when Jesse came over and was on the show with us Sunday morning, Saturday morning, whichever morning it was. And I never touched the trophy. Well, then Tim's son brought a trophy out the next day, and I lifted it up, and they are beautiful trophies. I mean, it's real wood and real. It's not like the plastic stuff that everybody else has. You got a beautiful trophy out of the deal too, man.
They spent some money on trophies.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, the $1,000 don't hurt either.
No, no, that comes in handy. That definitely comes in handy.
Yeah, I think I broke at least $1,000 worth of parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, removing removing the bell housing off your transmission without using tools, that's going to cost you a couple bucks there to get that fixed.
That'll take care of half that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I walked over to Chris Hall for Hoffmeister was there vending. I walked over to him, and I said, you know, you guys got to come look at this. I've got their complete setup, their training brace. I said, you didn't have to tell me why that broke. And he's like, well, the only thing I can figure out is inertia. You had a guy pinned against the wall and hit him at 40, 50 mile an hour. Where else is it going to go?
The only thing that's gonna fight that is like skis cradles. You got to start getting like them guys got thicker.
Yeah.
1 inch. You talk about you're cradling stuff with 1 inch versus half inch. I mean, yep. It's just,
and those only weigh 480 pounds.
It didn't 600.
It didn't bend though. That's the thing. Nothing moved. Nothing shifted.
No, it's just.
It just broke.
That's what he said. That's what it's the shear. It's the shearing. The shear force that's doing it.
Yeah, yeah. When you hit those guys on the wall, man, they were nasty, nasty, nasty hits. I definitely would not have wanted to be in either one of them. I wouldn't want to be in your car because I had to hurt when you hit them the speed you were going.
Screw that. I'd love to have been in the steering behind the steering wheel.
Not that fast, man.
Oh hell yes. Oh. Shut that shit.
That was crazy.
Yeah. I'll admit, that last one I laid on that red car and against the wall, about 5 foot before I hit him, I thought, this is really a bad idea.
But, you know, afterwards it was worth it, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, well, he wouldn't have knocked my block off, but that's another story. Yeah.
Well, he hadn't pulled the slag down yet. I mean, he was still a viable moving car.
You
got to get what you got to get.
Yeah,
that's called a glory shot.
Yeah, Jesse.
I think between the wire class car and the turn back the clock car, I think I pretty much made enough junk to last me for a little bit.
Yeah, I just wish you would have had a little better luck. I mean, you started out there in the wire class, and you kind of got in a scrum, and then you got hit there in the left front, and it kind of ruined your day. But, man, I was hoping you were going to get it. Because that class right there, that's what you're all about, holding on the floor and run till there's nothing left. And those guys definitely did it in that class, man.
And we got to take a minute.
I was pretty bummed out because, you know, I just rebuilt that rear end after test driving it and breaking it, and then to go out there and make two hits and snap it again, it's depressing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In terms of that wire class, we had a chance to catch up with Cindy Regimball a little while, so, I mean, she must have towed
14 hours.
Yeah, long way.
That's what
they
were announcing was 14 hours.
She ran. She had a really nice suicide Lincoln. It had been sitting for almost 20 years. It took
motor forever,
and she had a wild motor, and she ended up taking a shot simultaneously on the quarter and the back bumper at the same time, and it put the back of that car probably 5 feet in the air.
Yeah,
I mean, she was sitting looking down.
Her passenger wheel was a whole wheel worth outside of where it should have been on to the passenger side. It was awful.
It was, yeah, Klinger. Klinger got in right there.
I'll straighten it back out and run it again. The heck with it.
Klinger and Tiffany is who got the other shot. It was both of them got it. But I mean, she had a great run. The motor was absolutely screaming, and everybody was talking about how nice this suicide was.
She needed to get a little people.
She was Black Widow form, man.
Oh yeah.
Well, she's been around a long time.
Oh,
know?
Yeah, she ain't afraid of European man.
She was running on that shows in, back in the '90s. I mean, she's traded paint with a lot of the big names, and I guarantee you, that's another one. I bet it had a blue oval motor in it. She's Ford blue right to the core.
I don't know what it had in it, but man, was that thing screaming! And it got to where it was dieseling so bad when she finally attempted to shut.
She unplugged every wire in it, and it wouldn't shut off.
Yeah,
she got it. Everything.
She yanked all the wires, crimped the dang fuel line just to get it to try and shut off.
They were using. I don't know what they were even using. And they were trying to hold the floppers down on the stacks. Yeah. Trying to choke it out, and it was still shoving air out. That was an awesome car.
Yeah.
It was a ton of fun. It's been a while since we got a chance to see her, and where she had, you know, some good luck and had a chance to really put out a good run. And man, it was a ton of fun to see that.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Oh, right to Brian when he was yawning. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, she definitely put on a great show. Great show.
Yeah, I actually hope they do that again next year.
I actually, now that you mention it, I was talking to Joker last night, and Joker's got some more ideas, and he's got some really good ideas, and I think he's gonna sit down with Tim or give Tim a call, and they're gonna talk about it.
I'm kind of hoping so myself.
Oh, good.
I was standing there in that lineup. I was like, man, I brought a knife to a gunfight.
I don't know, man. Your Cadillacs are pretty tough, man. I think if your run hadn't been broke, you'd have been just fine.
Well, you know, I even went up and said something to the dang announcer when I got my check at the end of the night. I said, you know, announcing that I was going for that second Mad Dog, you just made me a marked man.
Yeah, kind of, he did.
Another guy that...
I'd like putting a bullseye on a man's back.
I mean, we're trying to hit on everybody. I miss Bob Wodzinski. He ended up having a fire in that wire class, and after that, he was all done.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was going to be a minor fire once the oil burned off of the headers, but in any case, they shut him down, and they said he was all done. But he was well on his way to bruising egos. He was going to be another guy that was swinging some major iron.
I definitely think there's going to be a heavy migration of people going to for that wire class.
Everybody we talked to.
Everybody said that it's great to see that the lower level builds or the not as extreme builds. They're a lot of people are happy that it's coming back.
I think you're going to see a real heavy migration. Pennsylvania, a lot of New York guys, I think you're going to see head out there next year.
I hope so.
Every person that we talked to that was there either for their first time was back again and didn't have a car, so next year I'm going to have a car. So, Tim and Russ, buckle up, my friends, because there's a lot of cars coming.
Guys, there's a lot of guys that said they want to try running the street stock next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, you know who I think would do good in that wire class? Guy from Wego that they call Richie Predmore. I think Richie would be right at home in that heat.
I want to see Richie run 80s class.
80s?
The smash it class.
Oh, yeah. He would be ruined guys' days there, too. Yeah,
because he would be going a lot faster.
Oh, yeah.
I know Tim and Russ had said something about maybe next year there won't be any kickers allowed in that class.
That came up a couple times.
Wow.
Came up a couple times. And you know what? There was a lot of knee jerk reaction to the pace of the heats of the 80s class, and nobody made anything definitive. Nobody made any decisions. There's nothing that's been locked down, set in stone in any way, shape, or form with that right now. They've got until November 1st.
Yep.
You bring back the spray paint can.
I know when drivers meeting on Sunday, he said that he didn't want to see Sunday look like Saturday in the 80s heats. He said,
yep,
we're half tempted still to walk around and make every one of them cars going in the feature cut the kickers out.
Yep.
Yeah. It's still not decided.
Yeah. And I mean, and we've touched on it a million times. You know, I can understand the running for the money, and, you know, you got to kind of take it easy. But, I mean, as I've said before, when you have cars built that strong, and then you have the absolute best bolt-on parts, you know.
Run the shit out of them.
Yeah, I would like to see stuff run harder, but. It's not my money invested in.
That's like you guys getting on TV and watching a NASCAR race under caution for 400 laps.
Yeah.
I'd go to bed.
Yeah. you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
It's a catch-22. I mean, I feel them guys got a lot of money, but you know what?
We had a great conversation with Chris Pauly about this exact topic.
You got a lot of money in your cars. You got the best parts, so you know what? Let's give the part builders even a better name by driving the shit right out of them for 45 minutes, a half hour, 45 minutes, even an hour if you drove them hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
And
they'd do it.
And if they still last, holy shit, the phone's going to ring off the hook twice as much.
Oh, yeah, show what kind of abuse they can take.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Now, my boy looked at me right after that 80s first heat, and he said, if you drive like that, fucking back to the camper and going to bed.
That's great.
And all I know is my dad said he was running up and down the dang front fence, yelling and screaming. And
that's, I tell you,
how can you argue that?
Yeah, how can you argue that point, man?
That's just awesome. I love it.
Jesse, man, is there anybody? You mentioned a couple folks that helped you get there on one of your last appearances, but I know you had a ton of help in making this one possible. Is there anybody you want to recognize and make mention of here before we let you go? I know Spinning Wheel Photography got a ton of good pictures of you out there.
Oh, yeah, you know, Spinning Wheels and Chris at Hoffmeister Cradles, and then, of course, you know, Otis Motorsports, you know, that's the best that motor's ever run in my life.
Right.
And I told him, I actually found him there watching and gave him a hug. I said, I appreciate everything he did. But, you know, there's just the two guys that have been willing to spend the most time to give me a hand, which is Jeremy Gaddis and Jeffrey Sager, whose wife was not so pleasant, but she was more than willing to let me have her husband as long as I helped put a transmission in a Durango.
That's worth it.
There you go.
Fair trades. Well, Jesse, man, I appreciate
they spent a lot of nights in the garage, so. Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, put them to work again this week. Get something together for the 6, because that's coming up soon.
Yeah, we're going to try and I was talking to Josh yesterday, and we're working with trying to accommodate to the rules to switch that wire class car over to be able to bring it up there.
Excellent.
Good to hear.
Well, man, I appreciate it. Congratulations on the award, and we wish you the best. We'll see you here real soon up at Kings of Old School.
All right, see you, gentlemen. Thank you.
See you later. There goes Jesse Kunkel. Won the Heavy Hitter Award in the Turn Back the Clock class out there at Bash for Cash. Take a quick look at this, and we will be right back.
Travel back to the good old days of Demolition Derby at the 2015 Kings of Old School, presented by Goodies Graphics and GN Autosport. The Kings of Old School will be held June 6th at the Broome County Fairgrounds in Whitney Point, New York. The Old School class is drawing drivers from across the United States, with new drivers signing up and past champions coming out of retirement to take part in the show with rules written the way the Northeast Derby community wants them to be. The headline Old School class will pay $22.50 to win and will be run in a Heat 10 feature format. The 80s newer kicker class filled in less than 6 hours once registration opened. The winners in the division will enjoy a share of a $3,000 purse. The card also includes compact and junk run divisions. Inspection opens at 8 a.m. Derby action begins at 2. Call Brett Relier at 607-327-2705 or Josh Decker at 607-725-2194 for details. With rule questions, call Mark Benjamin at 607-215-2149. That's the Kings of Old School, June 6th, Broome County Fairgrounds, Whitney Point, New York. The Crash Course would like to thank DerbyParts.com, an industry leader in aftermarket parts. DerbyParts.com has become the go-to source for builders looking to make one stop for all their derby needs. A proud partner of the Reckless Warrior Series and a title sponsor at the Bash for Cash, DerbyParts.com offers products from the top manufacturers in the industry, including fellow Reckless Warriors partners Brian Muir and Big Rock Derby products, and performance aftermarket standouts MSD, Edelbrock, Schoenfeld, and Samson Tires. Inventory includes cradles, ultrabells, sliders, flux plates, pedal kits, mounts, fans, radiators, adapters, tanks, and much, much more. DerbyParts.com truly offers one-stop shopping for builders ready to perform at any level. Go online and check them out. From bumper to bumper, you can find it on DerbyParts.com.
And we're back with Jared Lazenby on the line to talk a little bit about the Kings of Destruction show coming up here real soon out there in Tool, Utah. Jared, man, thanks for joining us here tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Where'd you go, Jared?
Did you do something wrong, Chris?
No, I just didn't do everything. There you are.
Chris,
all right,
Chris messed
you
up the phone, Laz. It's his fault.
I did, just a little bit. We're good, though. We're good every now and again. Apparently, I'm getting old because it takes me a little bit to recover from the 8 hours of sleep that I've had since Thursday.
Oh, stop.
I know. Anyway, so Jared, man, how's this thing coming together? Sounds like this is going to be a pretty good time.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. It's never work, never any process, it seems like, but constantly on the go. I should have stuck to driving the car. It's a little bit easier, but...
Yeah, at least you can get rid of your stress when you're driving.
Together, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, the car count is just crazy. It is. We're giving away $30,000, and last year we had 28 cars signed up. I'll be surprised if we get there this year.
Wow,
it's just falling off here.
You're gonna be more than
compared to back north or back east. Josh told me you guys got like 150 or something cars next week.
Yeah, coming up on the 6th, it's going to be there are over 100 entries now. I don't know what the official number was, but I know that they've gone, they're upwards of 100 easily.
Oh yeah. I think old school's like 80 now.
Yeah, between the old school, the kickers, the trucks, and the compacts, they're going to be pretty full. It's going to be a good time. We're looking
crazy.
For
Yeah, the money here, the shows are just, there's so much money on the line, and just there's not enough, like, drivers anymore. We're not getting enough of the new blood, I guess. I don't know. Huh. But we're putting it out. We're trying to get anybody that wants to bring a car, we're probably looking, you know, your chances of winning money are really good.
We're excited.
I mean, granted, you'll probably be sore for a couple days. We've got almost $7,000 in most aggressive alone, so.
Wow. Yeah, that's some money, isn't it?
It'll be a hard-hitting show, I'm sure. Last year we had some really, really good drivers, and it was by far the hardest hitting derby in the state last year, so
that's
really put on a show.
One of the neat things about this deal is that Jared contacted us about coming out, and he said one of the things that we got to make sure that we make happen is you guys come out here, because the drivers are asking for it. They want you guys out here.
That's awesome.
And it's one of the first times that the promoters actually come out and said that we – you know, it'd be great if you can make it, but the drivers are telling us that we got to get you out here, which is pretty cool. And with the pool of drivers that he's looking to draw right now, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And the thing is, too, I mean, I've talked about it before, but years ago, when Derby Videos was out and producing a lot of stuff, Ben bought, I couldn't tell you how many videos of heavy hitting this and kings of that, and we started watching them, and everything was from Utah.
All Utah.
I mean, there was they were driving hard, and they were in Mopars. So I mean, instantly it became our favorite. I'm like, man, imagine going out here and watching these guys, and to finally be out there, you know, to be able to go out there and watch the guys, and you know, and show it to the country. That's going to be awesome.
Except you got it on the wrong weekend.
I would have moved. I should have known. Last year, Josh had a wedding or something this weekend. He had to be the best man, and I tried to get him to dog it.
But yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy. The Utah drivers, I mean, obviously I've drove against them for a long time, but they'll surprise me most of the time. I'll be like, oh, my gosh, is he going to let up when he makes that hit? And they don't. They just it's nuts. I mean, you'll get your drivers. You can tell a driver that's, you know, can hold himself back, but the more power, the more speed anymore, there's a lot of testosterone out there. So it'll be a good show. Hands down, it'll be good.
No doubt.
Now you think you're gonna get guys that are just gonna kinda hold back and not really let on that they're coming and then just show up at the last minute?
Yeah, I mean that was always one of my favorite things to do, is don't pre-register, because there's nothing like pulling into a county fair or something with, you know, a prime car on the trailer.
Right.
Just looking at everybody's expression on their face when you do show up.
Right.
But Utah's, it's so weird right now, like, all the promoters are probably in the same boat. I mean, it seems like all the promoters are fighting over one group of drivers.
Yeah. Right.
Wow. I mean, you know, and it's hard. It's hard with only one show under your belt to compete with people that can get, you know, that have been putting on derbies for a long time. So I'm trying, by gall, but
you keep
to take care of the drivers.
Yeah, you keep going with your payout, and your good set of rules, or the same set of rules, and a good payout, the people will come. I mean, it's kind of the attrition of hanging, you know, staying in there and holding out, you know, through the dry years.
Yeah. The 80s really haven't been real popular here. They're just starting to barely come alive. But I know it'll argue back and forth, back east, out west. But, yeah, you know, at my show, we allow the 80s Crown Vics or whatever. If it's an 80s and newer car, it gets kickers from the dash bar. But also, I didn't want the 80s cars to dominate, so we turned around and added a secondary motor tie-down on old iron cars behind the wheel to kind of even it out. Mm-hmm. And like Troy Tech, because I did my homework when I came up with the rules last year, and I called Tag. He was a good one to call, and I first thing I said is I was allowing kickers on 80s. And he's all, I can put kickers on an 03? I'm like, yep. He's all, I'll be there with an 03. And I'm like, now wait a minute. Since I'm doing that, old iron can do this, and he says, well, I don't know what I'd bring this. Right there, I knew we hit it.
Yeah.
So
Cadillac.
It's definitely.
And that's the thing.
Set of rules.
You know, when you put out what your purse is going to be this year, I mean, you're doing an amazing job of taking care of everybody. I mean, the guys that are, you know, want to try to win, and you know, the guys that are out there just to make junk. I mean, the money you're paying those guys is amazing. I mean, it's if I was a guy in Utah, there's no way I wouldn't be at this show. I mean, it's definitely.
I would think there'd be guys coming out of the woodwork for that amount of money. But
yeah, that's you would think so. I hope, you know, I hope when we get there the pits are packed. That's what I'm really hoping for. I mean, you know, more cars, the more, you know, more the merrier. That's what we're hoping for, is a lot of cars.
I wanted to get in the punchline.
It's a tough call. Well, you guys will find out, because the way we did it last year is all my officials got a vote for most aggressive, and it was between Ryan Sweat from Kings of Crash and Adam McDermid. And Adam ended up winning it. He rolled Johnny Golo at the end, so that was the big push to Adam. But we're going to give you guys a vote this year. So
damn it.
That's cool.
You guys get to be under the same kind of pressure we're under. It'll be a tough call. I mean,
that's awesome. That's great.
It should be good. I'm excited. It was an awesome show last year.
Ben's not.
We had a lot of support from drivers, and just a typical, you know, we had a couple cars that didn't get in, and they were, you know, a good group of drivers, but we tried to stick to the rules on that, you know, and the rules were just screwed up last year, so it kind of this year we think we ironed it out for the most part, but it seems like every time you promote a show, you find a new...
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
...loop in the rules. So, yeah. But I've told the drivers that have called me on it, if you find it, then so be it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in there.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, with, you know, getting the stuff around for your show, have you had time to be, you know, building on a car for yourself or for your first show, show you're driving?
I wish. I actually, for one of my for advertising schemes to get a crowd and stuff, is I take cars and I place them around town.
Oh, that's cool.
We did a rollover one last year, and so I've been working on half-built cars and painting them and stuff like that, but for the most part, going getting sponsors, just trying to put the whole derby together. Last year, I had a partner, so it kind of helped on that end of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
The tickets and all that stuff, but this year, it's all me, so it's definitely a little bit more work. But as soon as the derby's over, by God, I'll have to get behind the wheel of a car just to take out the aggression I got built up from it. But
Yeah.
It should be a good time.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We're all really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait to have you guys out here to see it. It's just, I mean, I've been back east, I've seen the two aspects of derby. I respect both of them. I see how they both work. I think it hurts a lot worse to get hit in Utah than it does at the derby I was in Ohio. I thought that Tony Jenkins was going to freaking make me in the hospital for a month when he hit me, but I just slid sideways about 50 feet.
Yeah.
I decided once I turned 50, I need to move back there and start running, but a little bit longer.
Nice.
Oh, man, it's funny. That is funny.
I'll tell you what, you would have enjoyed the 70s wire class at Bash for Cash this weekend. That would definitely be right up your alley, man. They said go, and those guys held it on the floor until there was, I think it was 15 minutes with a stoppage for a fire, and those guys were running wide open.
I caught a little bit of it on the pay-per-view deal.
Yeah.
The Derby Tees.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was good. I guess I watched the Mad Russian kick some butt, too. And I knew he would. He seems like that's what he's always doing, holding the floor. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just wish I could have made it back to this year to, you know, to run or even just watch at the Bash. Yeah, it would be insane. I would just be like a kid in a candy store just walking around looking at cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could not believe the Derby I went to in Ohio last year. I could not. It was just a little county fair, Wilmington, I think, but little tiny county fair, and there was fresh Crown Vicks that were built just extreme. That they were running, you know, they weren't running for a lot of money. They were only running for like $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah,
yep.
You could tell all the time that and money into these cars.
Yeah, but they
a lot of them were pre-runs from the Bash, but there was still a good amount of fresh cars there too.
Well, yep. they have like 40 some derbies they could run in the same set of rules. So
yeah,
they started out and build a fresh one and they just tour until it's done.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's kind of, we've tried to get on the same page in Utah with United rules and stuff like that, but it works to a point, and then every promoter's got a different opinion on stuff. So, but ours are getting better. They're getting more statewide of a unified set of rules.
Yeah,
that's
just add little bonus rules on top of it. So,
yeah. These weren't as much unified.
The way to feed the pre-runs.
These isn't unified. That's just how many derbies Tim and Russ had.
Yeah, the guys smash it.
That's how many smash it. The Tim and Russ Clark there that have smash it derby. That's how many derbies they have a year.
Yeah,
they
got 40 some.
Yeah, 42 in Ohio.
John Peck's got 40 some.
Yeah, John Peck. And
so that's one promoter with the same set of rules and with 40 some shows, 40 plus shows.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
This one, the one show a year about killed me, but I looked at his schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we went back for a wedding, and I asked my wife to look it up, and she swears she looked it up, but the first time I got on Wheat Crash, I found it instantly, and we were going hiking somewhere about 20 minutes away, and I'm like, nope, we're going home and changing. Get up at the Derby that night. But, yeah, I couldn't believe, and they do it all week long and everything. I mean, Utah is, you've still got a lot of county fairs, and it seems like from last weekend was the first Derby in the state of Utah this year. And then it's pretty much every weekend you'll at least have one show in the state till the end of September.
Wow.
Nice. And,
but most of the time you'll have two shows, you know, like Heber and Camas this year, that their purses are just like everybody else's. The money's in Utah, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. You can compare it to anywhere in the nation. Everybody's got, you know, around a minimum $20,000 purse, seems like. And like Hamas and Heber, they're only like 15 minutes apart, and their derby's same night, same time, everything.
Wow.
Damn.
So what do they do? I mean, like 10 cars show up at one and 10 cars show up at the other, or what?
Yeah. Well, they'll probably get, like, I don't know what showed up to Camas last year. Heber's got a large group of guys that consistently support their county, and they always do, you know, probably 20 to 30 cars, and then probably Camas is right around there, too.
But, oh, shit.
And they both sell out. That's the crazy thing. The crowd, you know, and they, I think Heber is like 8,000 fans, so, and Camas is just a little bit under that.
That's one thing I was wondering. Obviously, from Kings of Crash, every Derby that it showed there, I mean, the stands were just packed full. Is that how it is for all the shows in Utah? I mean, is it that big where it pretty much sells out everywhere?
Yeah, it does. There's a couple. Like, I know Camas and Camas will sell out, like, and Heber. They'll sell out quick. Like, this is the first year I guess they got with the drivers, and like the county got with the drivers at Heber, and the drivers finally stood up and, you know, and said, you had to save us tickets and stuff like that to try to help the car count and stuff. And they listened to the drivers. I bet they'll have an extremely good show this year. But that thing sells out. Them shows sell out so fast, you couldn't even get tickets if you, like, if I was to go up there and drive and I didn't pre-register, I wouldn't have been able to get my family in.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's how fast they sell out.
That is crazy.
And that's like a $20 grandstand ticket. It's just, the shows, the pace and everything is just so fast and so intense that you'll get people don't mind paying the money. I think Utah County, last year, they just built a new arena that holds, like, I think 12,000 people. Wow. And they sold out in, like, 3 days. Sold out.
How many seat is the arena?
It's insane.
How many seat is the arena where you hold your derby? How many people will be in there for that show?
We're hoping right around, we're adding some extra bleachers and stuff. We're hoping to get about 8,000 in there.
Wow.
And then if that works, you know, we'll increase, but for right now, we're trying like heck to get 8,000 in there. That's the only way I could afford to do the purse.
Right.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, that was cool, too. I've talked about it with a few different people. Was every derby they showed on there, man, when they showed the crowd shots, it was full. Mm-hmm. There was always people, you know, the stands were there.
Yeah, and the good thing, you know, there's never been an instance that I've heard about yet in Utah where the money is always guaranteed before the show starts. I mean, it's not, you're not going to drive, you know, 10 hours to get to a derby and the money not be there.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah, we wouldn't have it if that was the case, so.
That's great.
Yeah, you end up shot on the back hills.
Yeah, somebody would be upset.
Yeah, that's crazy. Definitely, that's awesome. Well, it sucks I'm going to mess
up.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do? I got my own show I got to do that weekend.
Yeah, you're kind of busy that weekend. Chris will be there, though, leading the charge.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We were trying to figure out last night if we were going to be able to get, we were actually thinking about surprising Decker with a car out here.
Oh, good Lord.
I think his wife might kill me, though. Can't walk after, you know, for a week after that.
Yeah, he
thinks. But I guess it's the week after your show, so It's, he can handle a little off. He
thinks Pine City was bad.
Oh.
Or not Pine City, but Bird
Bird Island.
Bird Island.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, I don't think. And honestly,
that's where we saw Matt Foss on last year. I was saying he was from Winterslam. And it was Bird Island.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be awesome for Josh, but you guys are gonna have to get a wheelchair.
It's still Brian's turn, huh? That's what you.
There
need to
you
say.
Go. Oh, Brian's
I don't know about all that, man. I'm getting old for that.
I'm getting too old for it.
You're gonna get out there.
I could guarantee you one thing. If I was there, I wouldn't turn a car down.
Well, I probably wouldn't turn one down either, but, I don't know about that.
He didn't say yet if he was going to build you Illumina.
I'm still going to be recovering from, I'll still be recovering from King's Old School.
We don't even know what Illuminas are here. them kind of things just don't come, I mean, they're still full, probably yards full of them things in Salt Lake. The mini cars are really not too popular here.
And your Facebook started blowing up because everybody in Illinois is looking for them.
Yeah.
Illuminas, they're yard art out there right now.
Yeah.
Nobody runs them.
No, there's not enough iron in them the way those guys drive
them. Out of here. So, that minivan, Utah's always popular for minivans. But
Paul Cox,
this year will be intense. I mean, I'm excited.
A lot of fun.
Get this show over with. You know, I watched one video of a car going next weekend to a show, and the horsepower, and the one that TJ McPhee's up in Heber, his Lincoln that he's getting ready for, not for my show, for another show, but oh, that made my get me nervous just watching it.
Yeah, when he's out doing donuts in the driveway and almost hits the fence.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. No, he wiped out one of the panels again. But yeah. I believe the last time he ran the same show in a Lincoln like that, he ended up hitting a kid in the trunk hard enough that he knocked his goggles and glasses out over the front bumper, and the kid couldn't see very good, so they had to stop the derby and find the kid's goggles.
Wow. Holy
crap. That was probably a stock 440. I mean, now they're just, the cars are insane. They just keep getting harder.
You can stop talking now, because it's making it that much worse. Oh,
that's crazy.
Do you want a car here?
Oh, Ben, you hear that?
Ben would love one.
What's that?
Ben, did you hear that? You said, are you sure you don't want a car here?
Yeah.
Is that good enough reason to call in sick?
Yeah, if I could find somebody with a private jet, I would be there.
You know anybody that can fly?
Icy Hot to start sponsoring the shows here in Utah, probably.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Icy Hot?
You weren't kidding.
Yeah, definitely. It should be good, though. I'm excited. I mean, with the kid that won it last year, or guy that won it last year, I call kid because I still think we're young, but Clay Stewart from Morgan, he's coming back with a fresh car, and he's always right there in the money. And then, you know, Adam McDermott, the kid that won Mad Dog last year, he'll be back. So,
very good.
Just nice.
A list of drivers. It'll be interesting.
We're gonna.
I heard Dutch Gumby the other day, and he swears he's going to be there.
Gumby's going to be there?
Oh. Gumby's gonna drive.
I would definitely. So,
promised me he'd be there.
Wow.
Now Golo. I think Golo might be retiring from big derbies after he got turtled last year, because I haven't seen him at a big derby yet. But Gumby will be there.
That's awesome.
I want you to take a spray paint can out and put a big S on his car.
Well, if we watch firsthand, I guess we'll be able to tell whether or not Gumby really sandbags. We'll be able to tell for sure.
Him and say if his wife was at the show, or his girlfriend at the time was at the show, he's going to drive hard, and he's definitely not afraid to lay some paint. So I think he'll just try to put on a big show.
That's awesome.
I don't know whether he's driving or anything yet, but he'll definitely push it to the limit.
That's cool.
Well, dude, we can't wait to get out there.
Might have to nurse him for a month, but. Probably feel it.
That's great.
Well, Jared, man, it's been a ball chatting with you. We're looking forward to getting out there. I can't wait. It's going to be a good time.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope you.
Nice to have you guys out.
I hope you have a great show, Jared. I'll see. Yep. I'll see you at the later one.
Sounds good.
Well, Jared, man, once again, appreciate it, man. We'll be seeing you soon. It's going to be a busy month of June. We got June 6th is Kings of Old School. June the 20th, we're out there for Kings of Destruction in Utah. And then the week after that, we come back home for just a couple days before we have to pack up to go over to the Keystone Nationals. And it's going to be
the week after.
Yeah, it's the week after. So
we're pretty busy in June.
If you want to have a fun month of demolition derbies, June is going to be just as good as May was, and we get to see some more new states. And Jared, man, we'll be talking soon. Thanks, Jared.
Jared's already gone.
Jared beat me to it. He's a busy guy. I got stuff to do.
Yeah, I got stuff to work on, man.
We'll have some parting thoughts here when we come back. But first, take a look at this.
The Crash Course would like to thank DerbyParts.com, an industry leader in aftermarket parts. DerbyParts.com has become the go-to source for builders looking to make one stop for all their derby needs. A proud partner of the Reckless Warrior Series and a title sponsor at the Bash for Cash, DerbyParts.com offers products from the top manufacturers in the industry, including fellow Reckless Warriors partners Brian Neer and Big Rock Derby products, and performance aftermarket standouts MSD, Edelbrock, Schoenfeld, and Samson Tires. Inventory includes cradles, ultra bells, sliders, flex plates, pedal kits, mounts, fans, radiators, adapters, tanks, and much, much more. DerbyParts.com truly offers one-stop shopping for builders ready to perform at any level. Go online and check them out. From bumper to bumper, you can find it on DerbyParts.com. Are you good enough to be recognized as a Reckless Warrior? Bo Lockwood Motorsports' 2015 Demolition Derby schedule will now be combined into the Reckless Warrior Tour, designed to give rewards and recognition to drivers that support Bo Lockwood Motorsports. The schedule starts at the 5,000 to win Superstock Championships May 9th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. The tour then goes to the Keystone Nationals, which has moved to the Westmoreland County Fairgrounds June 27th. The Jefferson County Fair Championships follows, with the Limited World Cars back in the limelight as they chase a $3,000 payday in Brookville, with the Reckoning 2 following on August 1st at the Clarion County Fairgrounds in Clarion, Pennsylvania. The series finishes with the final encounter September 4th and 5th at the Stoneboro County Fair. In all, there is more than $75,000 in prize money available among the six shows and features some of the largest purses in the Keystone State. Drivers will earn points based on their feature appearances and heat and feature finishes, with bonuses awarded for passing inspection and getting a stick on the first try. The season will end with a points bank where Bo Lockwood Motorsports will crown the deadliest warrior. That driver will then have his selection of one of the 10 prizes from the Reckless Warrior partners. For more details on the 2015 Reckless Warriors Tour, visit their Facebook page and check out blmotorsports.net. Demo Derby Masters offers a wide array of stock derby parts and accessories that have all been derby tested. Demo Derby Masters also offers custom fabrication, meaning your homespun garage idea can become a finely produced reality. Their team of engineers and Demo Derby drivers have designed, manufactured, and derby tested all parts to ensure the quality and durability, even though they're in extreme condition. DemoDerbyMasters.com also carries a full line of helmets, fire suits, gloves, and belts, and Kaiser's own branded oil and food. Parts are manufactured, housed, and shipped out of their 140,000-square-foot facility located in Cooperstown, Michigan. Order online at DemoDerbyMasters.com or contact them by phone at 800-472-2464 or email info@DemoDerbyMasters.com.
And we're back. It's better cut that conversation.
We'll finish that here in a minute.
Sold his wagon. Must be he couldn't get it built in the shop that he wanted to.
And so, anyway, but coming back to this particular episode, we'll save that for another conversation. Coming back to this particular episode, I just wanted to come back with some final thoughts on Bash for Cash. I got to say a huge thank you to Dave Diver and Big Rock Extreme and Big Rock Demolition Derby Products, who opened their doors to us in the most hospitable way, and to Sam. We only got to know him by the name Sam, Bumpers by Sam, who shared some booth space and made room for us to be
cool
live.
Dude. Pretty cool
live
dude.
From Vendors Row, and he kept an eye on all the equipment there for a while, and I got to go watch a couple of the heats, and it was an awesome time. Got a chance to hang out with Nate Middendorf from up in Minnesota, and he was with us a ton, and some great conversation back and forth between Nate and Tony Brellinger all the compacts, and then Tony got Reg Bonner to come over, and we were talking with those guys, and we had Mike DeFrisci on the show. It was good to see him, and he and Pat Osmond.
Rick Clark was around a few times. I don't know if he was on or not.
No, he never did come on. He's a shy guy.
Yeah,
we know that, and I pester him as much as I can to try and get him on. But it was a great weekend. We saw Joker. And we got to catch up with Brudzinski. We got some projects in the work with him.
Donut great, burger.
Great to, yeah. Yes. Brian has apparently been living on a rocker and didn't know that you could make a donut burger, but has changed his life.
Brudzinski, I walked up by and he had a plate and I said, "Is it lunchtime?" He goes, "Come in here." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Here, eat this." I'm like, "Dude, I'm good." "No, eat this." And
they cut the center out of a burger and put all the shit in the
middle. Oh no, they took a glazed donut, cut it in half, and put a cheeseburger in the middle of it. Oh, and then they had a beer, and I don't know what it was. It was only from Wisconsin, and something cow, and that was good too.
Yep.
But I don't know if I told you the story or not. After inspection Saturday, I was over talking with Joker. Bobby Whitaker walks up, mm-hmm. and I said, "Hey, congratulations on the win." He said, "Thanks." And of course, you know, Bobby's a pretty low key guy, and we've asked him to be on the show a couple times, and it's just not his thing. And I said, "Man," I said, "you're not even much for celebrating after a win." He goes, straight face could be. He goes, "They kicked me off the team." I said, "What?" He goes, "They kicked me off the team. Said I didn't hold up my end." And I'm like, "Whatever, dude." He kind of chuckled. And he goes, "I saw people coming with cameras and with microphones. And I don't want to deal with that stuff." He goes, "Next thing you know, somebody would have wanted me to be on a podcast." And I looked at him. And he kind of smiled. So kind of got my chops busted a little bit by Bobby Whitaker. So that was pretty cool. One of the many awesome people we got to talk to this weekend.
Pork Chop's watching live right now. He's actually was able to catch up with us live. And Bryce, his boy, says hello. And he sees his truck on the shelf right up there. And that's going to be a permanent fixture here for a long time.
Absolutely.
As long as we can. You know, it was great to see him. And let's see. William Allinger asking us through Facebook about rules for Bash for Cash. Your best bet is to hit up smashitdemolitionderbies.com. You can also find their information on We Crash. They got a Facebook page as well. Nick King making a cameo over the weekend, working trackside with the RC Derby. The video happened to start playing when I just pulled it up there a minute ago, and I saw the back of his head and remembered I wanted to make mention of him. We saw Sean Gokenauer and Shane Hammond.
Yeah, saw Sean.
Got to hang out with those guys. Shane Hammond, of course, shows up in his football window Lincoln. No radiator and again. And he goes, "So what do you think my chances are tomorrow?" And I said, "Doesn't matter." And I hurt his feelings. And I didn't mean to hurt his feelings there. He thought that I was diminishing his performance. I simply meant that you show up without a radiator. Because
you're the junk stuff.
Because I know how you drive, and you are here to absolutely ruin somebody's day. And he sure would have been able to do that.
Yeah, unfortunately, he had some timing mechanicals.
Had some timing problems in the pits, and the motor ended up not cooperating whatsoever. And saw Billy Orndorff. We talked about him in the in-car stuff. We saw him. I mean, I can't even tell you how many people came up and said hi that we're not even sure who they were. They were just folks that listened to the show, and it was awesome. Randy Roan, he messaged me, said he saw it, and didn't hear anything from Mr. Viking, I think his name is, or from Ian Rochelot, but hopefully those guys got to see it. We talked a little bit about the veterans and all the folks that were overseas keeping us safe, and people who've paid some pretty steep prices to let us do what we enjoy doing. And I haven't heard anything from those guys, but if you did get a chance to see any of the shows, we were thinking of you when we were out there in Ohio. And then certainly want to make mention, we had the chance to catch up with Mark Klein from Derby Tees and had some real good constructive conversations. Things are very much in a positive place for that. We appreciate the support from both sides of that fence, and there's no reason why we need to be at odds and continue to badger at one another. So I'm asking the
let's also say
I'm not done. I think we don't have to have the Crash Course fans picking on them and vice versa, because there's plenty of room for everybody to get along. We can peacefully coexist, and we're basically out there trying to do what everybody wants and to keep the sport getting bigger and better. Would you want to add that?
But let's also just say that none of us have ever.
Oh no,
we've left the comments, you know, private, and we've never went out there and done anything to run down Mark Klein. Nope. Or any of his businesses publicly. So we'll just leave it at that.
No, we haven't, and I don't anticipate any of that stuff. Any of that stuff coming down the pike again. I had a chance to chat with Mark, and we started our conversation pretty candidly. We talked at length about it, and I said, you know what would really, really be cool is if we took a selfie together and put it on my Facebook page.
Which you did.
And he goes, let's do it. That'd be awesome. So we did it, man. In our court, there's no bad blood, and we don't want there to be. It's something that I think we got some cool stuff coming down the line for Crash Course 2. So I'm excited about the prospects of what's coming in 2015 and points beyond, because it looks like 2016 is going to be a ton of fun too. Just in some of the conversations that we had with a number of different promoters. Side note, we met Rick Dodd, which is a cool dude to meet up with, friends with GH Graphics, and George Highnote, who we crossed paths with. Jonathan Muse.
Yep.
Got Mavis, Carl, whatever he goes by.
We did. We saw a lot of great people.
By the way, Tippy Cow does have some dairy content and goes bad in sunlight. ages like mayonnaise. Usually a bad thing.
We unfortunately, as we've touched on, we weren't able to hang with our Derby family, the Siopas. They had a bunch of stuff going on.
A rough week for them.
Yeah, wish those guys nothing but the best. Looking forward to Keystone Nationals, which is, I think, where we'll bump into all three of those guys again. Be great to see them. Hopefully things smooth out a little bit for them between now and then.
We can only hope, because those guys, they're good people. They do a lot for the sport. They do a lot to keep a lot of the guys that nobody's heard of out there in the forefront and make them regular names. And they face a little bit of adversity. More so, got to hang out with Chris Quensler,
yep.
Brian Bauman,
mm-hmm.
Mike Rhea, who's a phenomenal dancer.
Wetmore. Wetmore stopped by.
We saw Wetmore. the list just keeps going. Wade Sicking brought this up, and it was good to see him. We had some real good conversations with Wade and over there at Derby Parts, and he said the Bash for Cash is like a giant family reunion, because mm-hmm. You haven't seen these guys for a year, and you see everybody back again in the same place, and you see people at the same time that are from these completely different pockets of Demolition Derby.
Yep.
And Wade also mentioned that we were going to have a great time in Utah, because it's a driving style that we can identify with all the Mopars and flat footing.
We also a whole host of Canadian fans, you know, Ron McClung, his son Brian, just so many great people. Definitely, I mean, you know, weekends like that are definitely what, I mean, the Derby was great, but seeing the people and talking, Freebie. Yep.
And Pete, the feature, the Old Iron feature was officially, the time on the clock was 7 Pete Hansen cigarettes.
Way more than that. I got to talk to Toby Hiley a decent amount.
That was
very, very cool. Toby's another guy we've tried to get on, and just not really his thing, which is cool. But I talked to Toby a little bit, and he learned me some things, taught me some things, and as I've told him a million times, I really hope that he hangs up his inspector hat and puts a driving hat back on for next year. But
he won't be able to sit at all.
I hope not. I really want to. I would really enjoy watching Toby run again.
He wants to take a year off from having a kid.
I heard that story too.
Yeah.
No, Toby's some type of person. He can't sideline for too long. He's got to.
Yeah, he'll be back.
He'll be back. But Tim, I mean, from what it looked like, Tim and Russ again did a hell of a smash up job for a show, accommodating such a large amount of people, large amount of cars. Everything looked like it went real well for the most part.
And I wanted to thank Tim and Russ again. They treated us like gold, as they always have. Anything. I walked up to Russ Saturday, said, "Hey Russ, how's it going?" He goes, "You here to help inspect?" I said, "Anything you need, I would love to help. Come on in, check this out, look at this." And you know, and they were the same way in the inspection line. Not that I knew what I was looking at. I needed Ben there to tell me what was going on, but he had some stuff he was taking care of over the weekend. They bent over backwards for us, you know, us personally, and it's just, it's great. They do a great job. Again, a great Derby, you know. Really hoping and praying that we're back there again next year. That would be awesome. Just thanks to everybody that made the weekend so great.
It's another one in the books. Bash for Cash 2015 all over. Attention now turns to the Kings of Old School coming up on the 6th of June. We've got... After that, we're going to Utah for the Kings of Destruction on the 20th and Keystone Nationals after that. It's going to be coming up on the busy season. And then after that, we kick right into all of our county fairs right here in New York. So lots of cool stuff coming. And look forward to having everybody along for the ride with us, because it is going to be a busy, busy summer for Crash Course, podcast, Smash Empire Films. And you can read all about it in Derby Inc. Magazine. Got another one coming out here pretty soon. New releases coming out from the t-shirts. We should have a bunch of stock designs. The It's Gonna Happen shirt's coming out. The new Play in the Gray shirt is coming out. The Smashed Empire shirt at long last is supposed to be coming off the presses here tomorrow or Wednesday. Wait, no, tomorrow's Wednesday. Whatever day it is, it's supposed to be coming out. But
yes, no sleep catch stuff. Up.
Good stuff. But as for this one, as we say, time to put a fork in it.
It's done.
I think we're done. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us here on the Crash Course again. We had a great time out there at the Bash for Cash. We look forward to seeing you here in just a few weeks in Whitney Point, New York, when we go live trackside from the Kings of Old School. It's going to be a good time for everybody. We'll see you out there at the Broome County Fairgrounds, Whitney Point, on June the 6th, and we'll be right back here next Monday with another studio show on FriggleLakes1.tv.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, the 2015 Bash for Cash and Smash at Demolition Derby, Bull Lockwood Motorsports, and the 2015 Keystone National, Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com, and Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc.